crazy about you, and I know this is fast, but I gotta make it last. And I just want you to know I've never felt this way, and I just want you to see you drive me crazy, and I don't want you to go. Please don't go and stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. As I fall deep, deep, deeper for you.
Hi, everybody. This is Richard Sacks. This is Lost Arts Radio, and we have a couple of our good friends, Rima Labo and Ralph Fusitola, trustees of the Natural Solutions Foundation, and also the people who helped us put together the Emergency COVID-19 Health Summit recently. And it became apparent to all of us that we needed to update it because things are changing so fast, and we want to talk about new developments, pro and con, and anything that's going on relevant to that in America and also in other parts of the world, because this is a global issue right now that countries are being locked down all over the planet, and it's clearly coordinated. So we need to see what is the progress toward getting rid of that situation, or is it getting worse, or what's happening, and anything that these two want to tell us that is important for us to know. So welcome, Rima and Ralph, and really glad that you're here. I think this is a really important conversation to have.
Thank you. I'm glad we're coordinating this. As you said, news is unrolling, much of it improbable, much of it hard to comprehend. These are such strange times, and it's very important to do these updates.
Right,
this will not necessarily be the last one. We'll keep watch.
Exactly. We have been aggregating information about the COVID at a special website, which is www.truthaboutcoronavirus.com. Sometimes when people try to go to that website, they get told by their browser that it's an unsafe website.
Dangerous. Big red banner. Dangerous.
You got to persevere to get to the truth. You can't just trust the gatekeeper. You have to be willing to look a couple of extra times. That site is part of our general information site, opensourcetruth.com, which, of course, Richard, you post all of your podcasts on, and so do some other people. Opensourcetruth.com has some very important articles that we've been posting, including the most recent one, which is entitled Follow the Money. And I thought it would be a really good way to begin our COVID update by talking about three numbers. The amount of money that a hospital is paid when someone is admitted with pneumonia. That is when someone with Medicare is admitted with pneumonia. And that amount is $4,900, no matter how long they're in the hospital, no matter what's done. Then, if during that admission, they decide the person has COVID-19, all of a sudden, they get $13,000.
Are you talking about payment from an insurance company, Ralph?
I'm talking about Medicare payments to the hospital.
Okay.
And then finally, if that patient is put on a ventilator, even for 1 minute, well, or 1 hour anyway, even for a short period of time, the hospital is paid $39,000.
Wow.
$4,900, $13,000, $39,000. Dr. Rima, what do you think the hospitals are doing with those numbers?
Let's see. Hospitals, money, pharmaceutical system, insurance system. Gosh, do you think that they might be following their own advantage rather than following the reality of what the patient needs or what's real for the patient? Golly gee. But wait, there's another piece of this. And that is, if a patient is admitted to the hospital and then his monies are rolled out, the $39,000 for being on the ventilator a moment, the patient is then discharged but comes back within a certain number of hours. I believe it's 96 hours later, but it could be 48 hours later. When the patient comes back, sometime later, the whole cycle of payments starts again. The $13,000 for COVID diagnosis and the $39,000 for the ventilator application. It's becoming quite clear that what's going on in the lungs of people who have the COVID-19 disease is not served well by ventilator pressure. It's becoming quite clear that putting people on ventilators is a good way to kill them, and that they need oxygen, not oxygen at pressure. There's a huge difference. So we have a financial incentive to do the wrong thing, and we have a medical incentive to be wise fools, to be fooled by propaganda that doctors and the community are receiving. The whole thing makes extremely little sense when ozone, vitamin C, and other nutrient protocols have been shown around the world to be effective, but ventilator treatment and pharmaceuticals have been shown to be disastrously ineffective. That's the reality. And the reality is being blurred by the money, by the propaganda, and by the depopulation agenda. Now, I have one other thing to add. You hear everywhere, on the radio, on the television, in print, on the internet, when we have the vaccine, everything's going to be fine. When we have the vaccine, the pandemic will be over. When, in fact, the vaccine was patented 4 years ago, a year after development, the patented COVID-19 virus, wasn't called that then, that was sold to China, that was developed with U.S. dollars in the U.S. and then further developed with U.S. dollars at the Wuhan CDC, the biosecurity laboratory in China, and that this whole thing has been planned, has been prepared for by the people who do not wish us well, by the people who wish us extermination and enslavement. And no, everything will not be fine when the vaccine is deployed. God help us if that vaccine is deployed in a mandated way. We are at a very, very dangerous point in our individual and global lives.
But I wanted to just tell our listeners and our viewers, Zero Hedge, which if you don't follow Zero Hedge, you need to follow ZeroHedge.com. Very important. They published a graph that had been created by Morgan Stanley to tell Morgan Stanley's clients what to expect, how the country was going to be turned back on again. And they show in that graph a curve for COVID and a second wave. And when you look closely at the graph, as Dr. Rima did, and she pointed this out to me, the second wave starts about 3 or 4 weeks after the vaccine is available, 2 weeks after, right? The incubation period, 2 weeks after the vaccination is available to the first responders. And it gets worse and worse as the vaccine is made mandatory for all of us. Very clearly, if you listen to the mind control, don't get sucked in by it, but listen to the mind control on mass media. As Dr. Rieman noted, it is just chant after chant of vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. But it's more than that. And Bill Gates has made it really clear. Unless you get the vaccine, which one assumes will have the nano chips in it, you will not be allowed to travel, or to shop, or to go to school, or to go to church, synagogue, temple, mosque, your choice. You'll not be able to do any of that. We are going to see a continued lockdown of people who do not submit to the current belief of the elite that only the vaccine will make us safe. In reality, if we had not been locked down, if elderly folks like myself had been simply avoided lots of contact, Lots of young people would have gotten very mild cases. The virus would have spread throughout the population. It would mutate, as such viruses do, to become less dangerous. And remember, a virus that can survive in our bodies is a successful virus. A virus that kills us all off is a much less successful virus. The Black Plague doesn't come back very often because it kills everybody who gets it. The average cold is always around. In fact, we are all, what is it, Dr. Rima? We have 5 pounds of bacteria, virus, and yeast and stuff in our bodies. It's called the microbiome. It's part of our normal healthy body. In fact, when those viruses that are in our body are not penetrating living cells and replicating, they are actually educating our immune system on how to function, which is why natural approaches like nanosilver, which helps support normal cell membrane integrity, are so much better than the craziness that we're facing now. Dr. Rima, there is one thing that's being touted by the president, among others, and that is the malaria drugs. Why do you think they think the malaria drugs are beneficial? And what's really going on?
I would like to respond to a number of the things that you said, Ralph. First of all, we need virus in our body. When people have a community infection of measles, for example, and they get measles generally as a kid, they have a lower incidence of cancers in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. Because as you said, viruses and bacteria educate our immune system. Second of all, viral vaccines, whether it's measles vaccine or whether it's the miraculously produced, suddenly available COVID-19 vaccine that will show up as if by some divine intervention when actually it was patented 4 years ago. Those viral vaccines are known, and mainstream medicine accepts and documents this, to cause viral shedding, which means if I get flu vaccine, I can infect you with the flu for anywhere from 3 weeks to 30 years, as with a polio shedder, other viral vaccine. The COVID-19 vaccine or vaccines will be no different. When I shed infective particles, that means I, the vaccinated person, were I foolish enough to be a vaccinated person, could make you, the unvaccinated person, sick. It is not the unvaccinated who are a threat to society. It's the vaccinated, based on the fact that we know conclusively that viral vaccines cause viral shedding, and viral shedding causes a dissemination of disease. Consequently, that second curve, that second wave that Morgan Stanley included is very accurate. That's a dog. Is very accurate, because a viral vaccine will cause disease. In fact, people like epidemiologist Professor Maniotis of the University of Pennsylvania have shown conclusively that it is vaccines that predict outbreaks, epidemics, and pandemics. When you find out where the vaccine has been administered widely, you can predict where the outbreak, epidemic, or pandemic of that disease will occur. So when we talk about science, we talk about good reason to avoid vaccines. And these vaccines will contain microchips. Dr. Fauci sits on the board of several of Bill Gates's organizations. Dr. Fauci has never had a vaccine that he did not love. The World Health Organization has never met a vaccine that they did not love. I have never met a vaccine that I did not fear.
You know, to be fair and balanced, Dr. Rima, about the vaccines, what I've heard, and you can confirm or deny whether you think this is true, that the new vaccine that everybody is hoping will come as soon as possible to save us all and allow us to go out of the house, this is supposed to be the beginning of a new generation of much better vaccines that will change the entire DNA of your whole body. Almost like putting in a synthetic kind of virus that goes in and transmits information to all your cells, and you're no longer the same human after that. Have you heard that?
God help us, one and all. These are CRISPR vaccines. These are gene editing vaccines. What could possibly go wrong? Right. We inject gene editing mystery substances into our bodies to do God knows what. And the God knows what that's done through the gene editing is propagated through all of human history for those who are left to be able to reproduce. We are playing God, but it is, if you will, the devil playing God. I fear for humanity, not only for those of us individually who will be altered and damaged by gene editing vaccines, no thank you, but for the rest of humanity's history, because once you alter a gene, you have changed history forever going forward. This is beyond insane. This is not science. This is unbridled hubris and experimentation in a field where morality seems to have been totally canceled in these monsters' minds.
It is, in fact, a violation of what we have to call the prime directive, do no harm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what medicine is supposed to be based on, the first directive, do no harm.
I think you got off track a little bit.
Dumping into that feet first.
Yeah, I also wanted to make a comment, Ralph, on what you said.
Yes.
You said it was the belief of the elites that the vaccines would save everybody. I don't think that's true, because the last thing in the world they would want to do is save everybody.
Ah.
I think they know really well what it will do, and I don't believe that they're untested. I think they're only publicly untested. But they wouldn't waste their time on an untested weapon.
This is a rabbit hole we have to go down, or else we're not going to survive as a species.
And I'm very glad you picked up on that. I meant to attend to that as well, but I got deflected by my own outrage. The elite know perfectly well that these vaccines are incredibly dangerous. The elite have no intention of saving us. They are depopulationists. They want to eliminate most of us, and they want to alter permanently and enslave the rest of us. It's called Agenda 21. Now Agenda 2020, and it's called Agenda 2030, as it was updated and announced by, I'm sorry to say, Pope Francis at the UN, who said, wait, we can make this even better. We can do it more efficiently. If you check out a website called truthaboutagenda21.com, you'll be able to see what Agenda 21 was before it was enhanced to become the monstrosity that it becomes now, with mandatory gene editing vaccines with chips to make sure you can be followed forever, tracked, traced, controlled. Is that what you want? Is that what healthcare is about? Or is that enslavement?
And you know, the old, that great interview that was done with Aaron Russo by someone that we can't mention on the program or will be disappeared immediately. They were talking about the objective at that time of chipping every person on Earth except the people in charge, of course. And with that, I think they realized that chips can be cut out surgically. You know, even at home, if you're desperate enough.
But not nanochips that are included in the vaccine.
Well, no, and what I was about to say is that the injected dye, which is only readable by certain equipment, can't be removed at all because it saturates the whole body.
Right.
And that was just announced by Harvard, I think. as a great leap forward in the record of how many of the vaccines you've had.
Yep. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the recent news in the past couple of days.
Sure.
Of course, we have the politicians now saying that the curve is flattening. Well, of course, in every infectious disease, there's a curve, and the curve goes down eventually. But what I found very interesting in the past 24 hours is the fact that the mass media has finally picked up on where this this virus came from. It didn't come from a wet meat market in Wuhan, China. It came from the bioweapons lab 1,000 feet away or so from that wet meat market. And we, at Open Source Truth, we wrote about that on February 17th, I believe. So we understood what was going on, and it's now taken the mass media in the United States, just about a month and a half or 2 months to realize what was going on, or maybe to admit it. So I think part of the follow-up to our COVID Health Summit, which has, by the way, 4 hours, 8 really great interviews with people that have real information for you. The update, part of the update is that we were right all along, and that the mass media is finally figuring it out. They're also finally figuring out that locking up the society was absolutely the wrong thing to do. We now know that in countries where a lockup did not happen, like Sweden and Hong Kong and Thailand and Taiwan, rather, and to some extent in South Korea, the virus ran its course without that problem. In fact, since the virus reached North America much earlier than they admit, people in California were exposed to it for weeks before it was even noticed, we now see the very interesting development of both California and New York totally shutting down. But in New York, we have hundreds, 1,000 people a day dying, and in California, it's around 100 a day. Now, it's true that California has twice the population spread over 4 times the area, but it seems to me that what we're seeing is the fact that the Californians were exposed early, and that community exposure has actually protected Californians from the worst of the virus, while what happened in New York with its intense lockdown has actually made the virus much worse. And so I think that that's part of the lesson we can learn over what's happened in the past month.
Yeah.
Well, there's another lesson. Two days ago, Governor, and I think what you said is very, very important, the cogent, Ralph. But 2 days ago, Governor Cuomo of New York performed a speech of astonishing magic, statistical magic. We have fiat money, which is based on nothing, and we now have an example of fiat statistics, which are based on nothing, because 2 days ago, the number of COVID deaths increased by gubernatorial executive order by 37,000. Not even overnight, just in the time that it took to sign the executive order. That doesn't mean that Governor Cuomo killed 37,000 people. What it means is that they moved the goalposts in such a way that anybody who died in New York from this date to that date is now said to be a COVID death, COVID-19 statistic, because they might have been exposed to COVID. They weren't tested. They didn't have an x-ray. They didn't have an MRI. They didn't have symptoms. Might have gotten hit by a bus. But because the bus driver couldn't see because his glasses were up, because the mask wasn't set properly, who knows? But the point is, 37,000 people who died are now listed in the COVID column for New York statistics. CDC said, hey, listen, anybody who dies during this period can be assumed or presumed to be a COVID victim, and therefore, one has to interpolate, people freak by the numbers that they'll say, please, please vaccinate me. Please vaccinate me. Please save me, because many people have died, even more than have died from the flu, whose numbers are bogusly inflated year by year by year by the Center for Disease Creation, the CDC. We're talking about lies and lies and statistics that are so fraught with lies that the mind fairly boggles. I have a fairly wide mind. My mind is boggled at the moment. Governor Cuomo increased the statistical reality by 37,000 deaths to sell vaccines and to sell his insane lockdown policy. What are we permitting as a society, for God's sakes?
Isn't it interesting that prior to this event, for example, in China, the pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong were rapidly spreading to the rest of the country. Now they're over. Isn't it interesting that the vaccine freedom movement in the United States was rapidly growing, powerfully growing, and now people are going to beg for vaccines? They're going to want, party cadre, as in China, to go door to door and make sure everyone is obeying.
The other thing I noticed, for the controllers. I noticed a change in wording too. It would be interesting to see if you agree with this, Dr. Riemann, that it's really inconvenient, you know, because you might get caught with the fact that it's not true when you say that so many people have died of COVID-19, when you could just say, first of all, coronavirus instead, which they're moving to now. And when a celebrity is diagnosed positive, they're saying positive for coronavirus, which is less untrue because it's in almost everybody's bodies all the time. And so they're using that, like when they come out on the TV or something with a big announcement, excuse me, of who the latest positive diagnosis is, it's always for now coronavirus. They don't want to talk about COVID-19. And I think part of the reason for that is that they have no test for it. And the only way that you could test for the current mutation is to know what that mutation is and have a sample. And I don't think they do. So it's less dishonest to say positive for coronavirus and then anybody's positive that you want to be.
Let's talk about for a moment. The best test that we have for the coronavirus, and I use that phrase advisedly, the best test that we have has at least an 80% false positive, which means that out of every 10 positive tests, 8 of them are wrong.
And this is for the generic coronavirus, right?
This is what they're testing for and saying that it indicates that they'll have the disease of the moment, the plague du jour. And so the test is for coronavirus exposure antibodies. And we've all been coronavirus because we live in human society. Coronaviruses are ubiquitous. They cause colds, this, they cause that, they cause a number of things, and they also exist without symptoms in most people most of the time. So it's like testing for red blood cells. There's nobody who doesn't have them. And similarly, if the test is wrong and 80% of the positives are actually meaningless, and if we don't know how many false negatives there are, we have a test that has a failing grade of F- or perhaps Q or P as its letter grade. It is a meaningless test. If the test is meaningless, statistics are rigged in such a way that anybody who stops probably did from coronavirus. Well, let me point out that everybody who dies stops breathing. Does that mean that everybody who dies of coronavirus? Well, it does under the current fiat statistics insanity that we are living through, propagated by CDC, WHO, Dr. Fauci, and the controller, dishonest persons and organizations whose ox is being gored by the truth, for which reason opensourcetruth.com tells you it's dangerous with a red banner. I sure hope it's dangerous. It's dangerous to have the truth when lies are the order of the day.
Right. What is Ron Paul's quote? In the kingdom of lies, the most dangerous person is the person who tells the truth. And that's what's needed right now, people telling the truth. Now, what do we do? What do we make of Donald Trump's decision to suspend funding for WHO? You know, of course, that U.S. is the number one funder, and I believe Bill Gates actually is the number two funder of WHO.
That is correct.
What does it mean? What is the real politics behind what's going on? And I point that out only because we are in the middle of a political season. This is an election year. There were huge rallies all over the country up until the moment of the pandemic, and they had to stop. And now we have the very interesting situation where President Trump is literally on the television every day for an hour and a half, campaigning without campaigning. We have one of the most unique situations in American history. We have the presumed Democrat candidate sort of bumbling around, trying to be relevant to something. And we have the president, who the mass media would rather not see, filling up their airwaves. I find this fascinating political season. It's maybe a plague of a season. I don't know. But what's really going on here? Richard, what do you think is actually happening?
A lot. I mean, we could talk about the answer to that question for the next week. But I would say a couple of points that come to my mind are, first of all, it's a good first step, freezing temporary funding for that group. But pulling out of it would be more reasonable, you know, completely, so that we're not a voluntary member of it, subjected to the agreements when you sign up, which are that include the fact that when WHO declares a pandemic, whether anything justifies it or not, they become the government. And I don't think that's a very good plan. But so, that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to point out that that is an official agreement between virtually every country in the world and WHO and the United Nations, which was signed, if memory serves, on June 4, 2007. And the Natural Solutions Foundation published that document, which says that in the event that WHO unilaterally, without any checks or balances or contradiction, by the way, in the event that WHO declares a level 6 pandemic, which it did during the swine flu, a non-event, if you remember medically, in the event that WHO declares a level 6 pandemic, and I quote, all governance globally reverts to WHO. So they declare a pandemic, and now shazam, they are the world government.
Exactly.
Is it in their best interest to declare a level 6 pandemic? Why, yes, it is. They are. And let me point out that more than or just about 70% of the funding of WHO comes directly from not only U.S. and Bill Gates, but pharmaceutical industry. So what we have is a pharmaceutical control mechanism, which is beyond unscrupulous. And if you remember, the story behind pharmaceutical control is depopulation. Natural Solutions Foundation has published the links in the story that is documented and makes that very, very clear, going back to John Rockefeller Jr. and moving forward in the corrupt and destructive medical / pharmaceutical industrial cabal. This is not conspiracy theory. This is disastrous conspiracy fact designed to create global government in which you may or may not have a license to consume oxygen on this planet. It depends on their plans, not yours. And a gene editing vaccine is part of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that in further answer to Ralph's question, Trump needs to show more stamina in standing against this medical mafia, I think, because when he brings up things on TV like, hydroxychloroquine, if you add zinc, actually has had 100% success rate with certain doctors brave enough to mention it. And I'm not in favor of drugs as the first line of defense because they have negative side effects, but that has less side effects than some of the modern drugs like the AIDS drugs that killed most of the AIDS patients in my experience. But when he mentions something even partway into the drug realm, he's immediately attacked by all of the official doctor experts on the media saying, the president's not even a doctor, and he said this doctor is having 100% success rate with chloroquine and zinc. That's so terrible to say that. I mean, it's a big challenge, but I think it's depending on him standing up against those people. And there's a petition circulating, which Fauci had a press conference about responding to, about Fire Fauci, which I disagree with. I think he should be arrested instead of fired. And, Trump is not acting quick enough on doing things like that. Plus, even on a campaign basis, he seems oblivious to the fact that he could be on TV saying good things 8 hours a day and he could still lose when the voting machines are owned by people who are not too friendly to the concept of freedom. Just a couple of observations.
As long as we have electronic voting, we do not have Democratic elections.
No, there was a book called Vote Scam USA, written by the Collier brothers decades ago. And this was before any voting machines. And what this must have been really stressful on the elite that they couldn't, subvert all the votes. But what they did to make up for that is they took them in basements of big meeting centers overseen by the League of Women Voters at the time. And they would be physically altering all of the paper ballots. So besides having paper ballots, they have to stay in the public view from start to finish to be reliable, I think.
Right.
I remind you of Joseph Stalin's famous and very apt, I care not who votes, I care who counts the votes.
Yeah. It's like Mayor, what's his name? Rothschild. He was saying, I don't care who the government is, as long as I get to control the money.
Yep, exactly. We have a perilous situation. We are being propagandized, and we are being flogged continuously with that propaganda. It's not a light attempt. It's a very, very powerful, well-organized attempt. And our economic reality and our constitutional reality has been weaponized against us. And the global summit that we did not so long ago, that this is an update to lay out the reality of what is happening and the reality of our options. Our best options at this point, as far as I can see, physician and as a lover of freedom, our best options are nanosilver, 10 parts per million, to support and protect our immune system integrity. If your immune system's working, you don't get diseases. Nanosilver does that. The next thing that we need to do is have an advanced vaccine directive card signed and ready to go, properly used, that says, I refuse all vaccines, and asserts our international, nationally protected right of informed consent. General Alvin Stubblebine III, who was the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation, before his untimely and unnecessary death, said quite succinctly, informed consent is the defining issue of the 21st century. Informed consent in terms of vaccines, what goes into my body and the body of those that I'm responsible for instance, my minor children, is indeed the defining issue of the 21st century. And the Advanced Vaccine Directive card that the Natural Solutions Foundation has developed is in fact a powerful and potent assertion of that right, which becomes more potent as more people use it. If one person in the United States or the globe uses it, it can be ignored. If millions of people use it, it cannot be ignored. So we protect other people by using the Advanced Directive card.
Neil Hurdy, here are examples. Here's the card. And here is an example of Dr. Rima's nanosilver, 10 parts per million. This card is really important because I can tell you, as a retired lawyer anyway, that unless you assert your right of informed consent, it will be deemed waived.
And since Dr. Rima says that General Burt named that as the defining issue,
yes.
Let's not assume that everyone listening knows what an informed consent is.
All right. I can give a quick explanation of that if anyone would like. Informed consent is the law. You know, where there is risk, there must be consent. And it goes back 100 years. There was a famous U.S. Supreme Court justice who, before he became justice of the Supreme Court, was a New York State trial judge. His name was Benjamin Cardoza. And he handled a case in 1914 that held that if a doctor engages in a medical intervention without the informed consent of the patient, that is an assault and battery. Even if the intervention helps, it's still an assault and battery and a civil wrong. Now, that was the law back at the beginning of the 20th century. In the middle of the 20th century, we had a horrendous example of the opposite. In Nazi Germany, people who were being held in the concentration camps were subjected to vicious, inhumane experimentation. And after the war, a number of the Nazi doctors were rounded up and put on trial. They were put on trial in Nuremberg during what are called the subsequent Nuremberg trials. There was one trial which was the infamous Nazi doctors trial. And for that trial, the prosecutors, who were headed by a member of the U.S. Supreme Court on leave for the purpose of being a prosecutor, the prosecutors put together a document called the Nuremberg Code, which is a restatement of the law of informed consent as it existed at that time. That's important because you can't try enemy combatants for war crimes unless the law existed at the beginning of the war. And so the Nuremberg Code says this is the law that applied to all nations prior to the beginning of World War II, and of course applies to all nations now. The United States, by promulgating the Nuremberg Code, and subjecting the doctors to justice under the Geneva Conventions, became itself subject to the Nuremberg Code. And the language in that code that says there may be no element of coercion, there must be a true free choice to accept any medical intervention, that very language has been repeated in what are called the Institutional Review Board laws in the United States. It's been repeated in the United Nations Bioethics Convention, and it is by and large binding international law. Now, I know that it's binding law in the United States because the Supreme Court has made it clear, as recently as 2013, in the case of Missouri versus McNeely. McNeely has a one-car auto accident, and he's rushed to the emergency room, and he's being wheeled into the emergency room on a gurney. Police officer on one side of him, orderly on the other side, and the officer is saying, "I want you to take his blood. Let's get his blood and find out how much alcohol. I want to know how much alcohol he's had." McNeely leans up from the gurney and says, I assume in a slurred voice, "I don't consent. don't take my blood. I don't consent. They take his blood, arrest him for drunk driving. He's convicted of drunk driving, and his case gets up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The court says the officer could have called a judge and gotten an order to take the blood in a minute, but he didn't. And McNeely did not consent. He refused consent. And then the court went on and said, we have never wavered from our commitment to the proposition that you have a protected privacy interest in preventing an agent of the state from piercing the skin. Clearly, you have a right to say no when they come at you with the vaccine gun.
Ralph, you're emphasizing, of course, the consent half of that phrase, informed consent.
Indeed.
And I think one way that people get around it a lot is having an information sheet that's incomplete and not necessarily honest, passing for informed part of that phrase. So what are the, like, for example, if you're going to have a treatment and you consent to it because the person tells you, oh, there's nothing to worry about it, it's going to be great, you know, it's going to cure you of everything, and it's totally safe and effective, maybe. That's not informed, because that is hiding half of the relevant information, right? So what are the specifics of the informed part? Right.
Exactly. So when back in the 1950s, when I and another 90 million Americans were given the polio vaccine, and we were not told, our parents were not told, this vaccine has simian virus 40 in it, which will increase your chance of having cancer later on in life. No one was told that. If we were told that, maybe we would refuse to consent.
It was voluntary consent based on inadequate information, yeah.
Right, exactly. Clear.
Let me share the fact that during the horrendous 158 days during which General Burt was in hospital and during which I was battling to protect him, and it was quite a battle, I continually waved the vaccine, cancer vaccine directive card, whereas his health proxy I carried for him and for myself, and said, all vaccine are refused, and they came at him with syringes again and again. Pull it back a little, rough so it can be seen. Maybe. Well, okay. It's a wallet card. I said, all vaccines are refused, and on every document that I signed on his behalf, every single one, I wrote, all vaccines are refused. I dated it, and I signed his name. He was never given a vaccine, even though I was told over and over, it is required. You allow him to have a vaccine. I said, send legal here, please, to speak to a member of your legal team. They vanished. When you assert your right correctly and positively, assertively assert it, if you will, they in fact back down. And the more of us that assert our right, the more rapidly they back down. We have the law on our side, but we have nothing on our side. We do not assert the law correctly. And just saying no thank you is not sufficient.
It's very interesting in states that are growing more numerous that eliminate the conscience objection and the religious objection, and the law says you can no longer have any choice. People assume that, you know, that's the law and you can't do anything about it.
But federal law, I'm not a lawyer. Ralph's a lawyer. But federal law is not canceled by state law. State law is subsumed under law, and federal law is subsumed under international law. The Geneva Convention is an international legal binding agreement which guarantees us informed consent, compelling the United States, the history that Ralph talked about, to maintain our informed consent, compelling the states to do so. the states are muddying the issue and that people in Congress have no clear perspective on this does not mean that our right abrogated.
Indeed, the way you can phrase that is the universal right of informed consent trumps state-level repeal of vaccine exemptions. Just because a state has the legal authority to repeal a vaccine exemption it created half a century ago or more does not mean that our right of informed consent is touched. And indeed, no state government has the power to dismiss or outlaw our right of informed consent. And for a government like the state of California or the state of New York to say to school children, you must surrender your right of informed consent, which is what they said when they said you can't have a religious conscientious objection to vaccines. For them to say that in order to receive your right to a so-called free public education, which, by the way, is guaranteed by the constitutions of those states and other states, you have a constitutional right to a free education. You have an international right to informed consent. You must surrender this to get that. That is called an unconstitutional condition. And our federal courts have literally thousands of times told state governments, no, you cannot do that. You cannot condition a benefit on the surrender of a right. That's basic 14th Amendment law.
So they're
acting unlawfully, but of course it may take years more for those cases to get up to the level of the Supreme Court where the Supreme Court will say, we have never wavered from our commitment, as they said in the McNeely case.
The conditioning from the media is for many purposes, but one of them is to make everyone believe that for your own benefit, any level of government that declares an emergency eliminates your constitutional rights.
Right. And that's not true. Indeed, our founders were very much aware of contagion. You know, every summer in Philadelphia, there would be a contagion, and the well-off people would move out to their houses out in Germantown in the country. They would bring their slaves with them, but they would leave their Irish indentured servants back in the city because they weren't as valuable. And then they would come back in the autumn. Every year, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and those guys knew all about contagion. And when they wrote the Constitution and they put in the provision for the suspension of habeas corpus, which is actually the martial law provision of the Constitution, they said you can only do it because of invasion or rebellion. They didn't say and contagion. And so it's very clear that any authority to override the Constitution is very limited and does not include contagion as one of the examples. Or as we say in the law business, expressio unis exclusio altis.
What are the legitimate exclusions where you can lose your rights and it's considered?
Habeas corpus? Well, that's good. The Constitution says only invasion and rebellion. And that clause is in the section of the Constitution on the powers of Congress. So it must mean that only Congress can declare, in effect, martial law or a suspension of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is the ancient writ of whereby you go to a judge and say, Your Honor, bring the body before you, the person who's being held in confinement by the government, who's being held under house arrest or whatever it may be. Bring the person before you and have the government prove that they have a right to do this. And that's the writ of habeas corpus. It was suspended during the Civil War. It was suspended by the president without Congress first, and then later Congress passed a law, and later there were Supreme Court cases. And in the Supreme Court case, Mulligan case, where a civilian by the name of Mulligan, who was protesting the war, believing that mass bloodletting to preserve the bureaucracy in Washington was not necessarily a good idea, he was arrested and tried by a military tribunal and sentenced to jail. The Supreme Court said, except on the actual battlefield where there are people shooting at each other, there can be no martial law so long as the courts are able to hold sessions. Now, I point out that our courts are now closed due to COVID. Well, they're not exactly closed because you can still submit papers electronically. So maybe they're open. So I don't know if it's possible for there to be martial law in the United States without a real battlefield. I mean, the president can say we're in a war against an unseen enemy. That doesn't make it an invasion or a rebellion.
You mentioned
so I believe that the attempt to declare martial law state by state, and that's exactly what Cuomo and Newsom have done, in effect, and the other governors, they've declared martial law using their plenary power with so-called police power. I believe that those provisions have to be limited by the terms of the Constitution, and they can't do it for what they're doing. Of course, they're getting away with it. You know, I understand that, but we will see.
Well, you only mentioned one right, habeas corpus. Are there any others that it says can be suspended?
There are other provisions. I mean, the Third Amendment, which says you can't quarter troops in people's private homes during peacetime without the owner's permission.
Right,
that
but well, I'm
martial law.
Right, but what I'm referring to is
and the Fifth Amendment,
other constitutional rights of citizens that could be suspended under special circumstances. Are there any others?
No. The First Amendment does not have anything in it that says except. It says Congress shall make no law, and it lists what we call your expressive association rights. And that includes your right to assemble and your right to speak and your right to worship. And I point out, by the way, happily, that a federal judge in Kentucky on the day before Easter issued an injunction against the mayor of Louisville, who had issued an order that not only could people not go to church, but they could not park in the church parking lot and have a service where everybody stayed in their cars. And he, the judge, issued an injunction, said there's not even time to give the mayor's lawyers an opportunity to argue against this. I mean, it was a real emergency TRO. And it was, I think, a very powerful act. There are still people out there who are trying to hold back the tide and hold back the rush, the panic. And that's very good. So what is, you know, we have only a short while left. What is the next thing that's going to happen? Dr. Rima, what do you think is going to happen? How are we going to get reopened? Will Cuomo be right when he said the country's not going to reopen until there is a vaccine? I mean, that's what he said.
That's what everybody is saying. You hear it on the news. You hear it from the politicians. Oh, for the vaccine that will save us. This won't be over until we have a vaccine. You hear it on NPR. You hear it on the mainstream media. And it is the drumbeat of war against humanity.
The game changer, vaccine.
Yes, the big game changer. Sure, if my genes are the game, then the vaccine is a game changer. No thanks, I don't want to play. Now, what I think...
That vaccine will cause irreversible infertility in a large number of people.
That's
the real depopulation agenda, to make sure that almost nobody can have offspring.
Let's revisit September 15th, 2009, when the then of Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius announced to Congress, did not solicit the approval or advice of Congress, but announced to Congress that the FDA had independently funded a mandatory vaccine program for the second disastrous swine flu vaccine. You remember the first one was in 1976 under Reagan, a true disaster. But the FDA had funded the purchase of all five of the swine flu vaccines made by five manufacturers and $500 million worth of squalene to be used as an adjuvant, an additive that would extend the amount of antigen that they had. The antigen is the working end of the vaccine. And by irritating the immune system with an adjuvant like squalene, for the first time in human history, it would be made available to every human being in the United States, but not just available. It would be made available first to those who wanted it, then it would be made mandatory for those who did not want it. But the FDA scientist, she informed Congress, had not signed off on the addition of squalene, and she mentioned the dose of squalene that would be admixed at 90,000 vaccination stations around the country. And so Ralph and General Burt and I looked at each other and said, that's interesting. And we went looking. We went looking for the patents. And it turned out that the United States government holds two patents on the use of that particular dose of squalene as an adjuvant in a vaccine to produce irreversible immune-mediated infertility in men, that's one patent, and irreversible immune-mediated infertility in women, that's other patent. And so what Kathleen Sebelius announced to Congress was, we have funded, without any authorization, the depopulation agenda. We have funded the sterilization of the entire U.S. population by first voluntary participation, followed by mandated compulsory sterilization vaccination. That was in 2009. The Natural Solution Foundation published this information and gave people a button to submit about 28 letters to their congressmen and to their governors and to the White House and to Kathleen Sebelius and to other relevant dignitaries. And in 11 days, 3.5 million people said the most important thing that a free person can say to a government, which is, don't you dare. And 11 days later, Kathleen Sebelius said, well, guess we won't. We won't do that.
And something else happened.
We crashed
this. Americans absolutely refused to take the vaccine. For example, in the city of Boston, the home of forced vaccination in this country, they made the announcement, there are only going to be 50,000 doses of the vaccine. You better line up the night before to get it. They had police lines, they had dogs, they had yellow banners, barriers, and 500 people showed up for the vaccines. This is an important lesson. Let's look at 1976, the first swine flu vaccine, which killed 400 people and then was withdrawn. And by the way, there was no swine flu pandemic because, as Dr. Rima pointed out, viral shedding from the vaccine is what creates the pandemic. It actually got pulled off the market because the drug companies were going to get sued and they were going to get destroyed. That was what people reacted to it in 76. Let's fast forward to 2009, the second swine flu pandemic. They were ready to literally depopulate the United States, and Americans refused, and there was no pandemic. Fast forward to 2020, and everyone is begging for the vaccine. The mind control is working. That's the reality that we have to face. The mind control is working. The vaccine freedom movement is being sideswiped by a very well-orchestrated attack using the Wuhan virus as its viral control point. And unless people loudly assert their right of informed consent, unless we make informed consent the centerpiece of our resistance to medical tyranny, we are all going to be chipped. And only those who have been chipped will be allowed to travel, to shop, to worship, to educate.
So what are you suggesting as, what are you suggesting as the practical strategic remedy for that?
Well, this is why we have a second amendment.
Yeah, well, that's funny.
And Dr. Rima, you're going off for some target practicing next week, aren't you?
I am. That's exactly correct. But two things that I recommend very strongly, and I've done them already. Three things. First, you must know that you have the right of informed consent, and you don't have to defend your reason for refusing a medical treatment. It can be any reason. It can be no reason. It can be because the little green man on Mars put a voice in your head, or it can be because you studied the scientific literature and have come to a conclusion, and anything in between. You don't have to defend your reason. You have the right to say no to
even
anything.
In an emergency.
Even in an emergency, that is not suspended. So that's point one. Point two is you must protect your immune system so that it can do its job, and that's why we recommend NanoSilver. Zinc is great. Vitamin C is very important. NanoSilver is crucial. And you must assert your right correctly, and that's why we created the Advanced Vaccine Directive, a legally valid and binding, if you assert it correctly, way of saying, I refuse your vaccine. Go away. My kids are not going to be vaccinated with your vaccine. Go away. This is unbelievably important and powerful, but you have to have the cojones to use it. You have to look in the eye of the aggressive medical person who says, but vaccines save lives, and say, perhaps, not mine. Thank you.
I think another important point, since we're getting close to wrapping up here, is in 2009, when the swine flu situation was declared a stage six pandemic by WHO, obligating all the signatory countries, including ours, to become subservient to whatever policies WHO announced. At that time, Natural Solutions Foundation was able to turn that around. And one of the ways they did it, as Dr. Rima pointed out, was getting unbelievable amounts of signatures on emails that went, well, not signatures, emails actually, that went to parts of government, so-called representatives. Now, to do that again, and it was used many times, not just then, but to do it again in this situation as needed, would require what to set that up again? Because as
money.
I understand,
money,
yeah,
money. Exactly.
That's kind of
money.
What I was getting at, right.
It's an expensive system that we had access to at that time. We also had a very large email list. In the subsequent years, the control system has learned how to impose private censorship, and our email list has been beaten up and destroyed to a great extent.
We wake up one morning and we find that 7,000 people have been whacked from our email list. We wake up another morning and we find out that 57,000 people, for example, have been whacked from our email list because the controllers, the supposedly privatized censorship system in this country, working for and funded by government, of course, have decided to make our information, which they conceive to be dangerous to their lives, unavailable to people. And so they whack people from our email list. We go to bed with an email list of hundreds of thousands, and we wake up and we find that a vast number of people are gone. Then people later, years later, will say, oh, I didn't know you were still around. Yeah, we are.
If you go to opensourcetruth.com, you'll see on the right-hand side of the page a place for you to sign up for Dr. Rima's email list. Actually, you need to do it repeatedly, probably every couple of months, because people get whacked off. Open Source Truth, that's where it is.
Even with the software, if you had it now, without an email list, it doesn't work as well as it did in 2009, right?
Exactly.
So you need two elements to that. Everybody has to sign up on the email list, as you just said. That's critical. And the other thing is you need the software. So how much money does that cost?
I think we probably could rebuild our list. We could go out and do the outreach that's necessary. And we could hire someone to spend the time necessary to do it. for somewhere close to $100,000. That's a very, very minimal amount of money considering what's at stake. And when we have that resource, we will be able to have that impact again. The reason we've been whacked and labeled dangerous with red banners, we're very good at this.
Yeah, and actually, this is something that if you had it, there'd be uses for it like right now, all the time.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. Oh, right? Yes.
So if somebody, any white knight out there, contact us. We'd like to talk to you.
Right.
Listen, I'm not so fussy. A white knight, a blue knight, a green knight, a purple knight, an orange knight, a plaid knight, I really don't care.
Right, but even some of the regular people, if they want to help, exactly how do they do that?
Well, you can certainly give us a gift if you want to, and go to DrRemaTruthReports.com or to Open Source Truth, and there are ways to do that. If you need a tax-deductible donation, because as an advocacy organization, we do not do tax-deductible, you can go to our sister organization, the Institute for Health Research. That's inhere.org, inhere.org, and you can make a tax-deductible donation there. It will go for good purposes, but if what we really need is someone who wants to make a difference in the world. And
Several someones. There's another thing you can do. We've mentioned NanoSilver, and we've mentioned the Advanced Vaccine Direct Card. Go to www.nsfmarketplace.com. NSF stands for Natural Solutions Foundation. NSFmarketplace.com. And there you will find books that are very important. There you will find the Advanced Vaccine Directive Card. There you will find the NanoSilver. I just got an email today that our manufacturer is able to supply us with another order. It's been very, very dicey anymore. We're getting another order of NanoSilver. So you will be able to supply yourself and those that you care about. And you can also make a donation. And just added to the Natural Solutions Foundation Marketplace is, Ralph,
a wonderful set of hemp extracts, some with CBD in it and some with not. The colloidal hemp terpene products. These are from a company called Heaven Send Hemp, and they're available through Dr. Rima's shopping cart at nsfmarketplace.com. I think you'll find the extraordinary products.
This is breaking, leading edge science, breaking news. These products, some of them have CBD. I've been an advocate of CBD along with Ralph for a long time. We wrote a book on scientific medical status of CBD several years ago together. But this set of products by Ascend Hemp has some products with CBD and some products with no CBD. The other bioactive products in hemp called the terpenes, no THC, high, no CBD, but astonishing other impacts. And I'll tell you, I had some swelling in the little joints of each finger, some pain, and I was distressed by that. And I tried the non-CBD terpene hemp extract in organic olive oil, by the way, and shazam, the situation changed dramatically, and I no longer felt any discomfort or stiffness. And that's with one application. But I did the same thing again. So there have been other applications because, you know, why mess with a winner? But the point is, it's remarkable, remarkable new science. The other compounds in the plant, and they're available at nsfmarketplace.com, because we believe your health belongs in your hands. It belongs in the hands of a government agent. You have the right of consent. You can say yes or no, whatever you choose.
That's a very important point. The right of informed consent is not only the right to say no, it's also the right to say yes to things that the authorities don't want you to know about.
Right.
That's important, too.
Okay. Well, hopefully everybody will take the time to support you, not just one time, but ongoing. And we should have also ongoing updates on the situation.
Absolutely.
If both
Absolutely.
Of you want to come back. So, sounds great. Hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here and decide what to do next. All right, you guys, there goes Ralph and Rima, Dr. Rima. That was a heavy-duty conversation. I think it was important. Sorry for the audio problems. As Doug was saying, it's probably from Dr. Rima's audio, or Dr. Rima's speaker being too close to her mic, which I should have recognized and stopped earlier, so sorry about that. Hopefully, if you listen carefully, there's a lot of important stuff in there that I don't want you to miss. So listen to rough patches over and maybe it'll get clear enough to understand anyway. So the point is that we'll keep trying to do the updates on the what we started to get into with the Emergency Health Summit and keep you up to date as much as possible. I think it's really important. It's not just about a virus, as hopefully you've understood by now. This is about an attempted takeover of sovereign nations worldwide, not just America. America happens to be important for the fate of the rest of the world because it's the only one I know of that was actually started with the idea that government is only there to protect the individual rights of the people, not for the greater good or the collective good or anything like that. That's a huge trap, and it's the sales pitch of communism and socialism and including national socialism, which was the issue in World War II, or anything like that. The collective idea is a trick of the way to get an elite cartel of rulers to dominate everyone else's life with the excuse of taking care of them. So we don't want to fall for that. A lot of people have fallen for it, even in America now, with the help of the corrupt news media and the universities making people insane, and even the earlier childhood education getting rid of common sense and teaching people not to think and that they're helpless and that we're not very smart and we need experts to direct our lives. You want to watch out for that, to put it mildly, because the whole idea of America and any place in the world that starts based on freedom is that you don't need to be taken care of by the government to be safe or to be secure or anything like that. That's a segue to slavery and extermination, which are not a good idea. So my suggestion is to support Rima and Ralph's efforts. I think they're doing incredibly good work. Good people who are very dedicated to try to preserve freedom and get things to turn out better in the world. It would be nice if you want to support us, keep us on the air. You know, we have no commercials happening. You can do that in a number of ways that usually, you know, people don't pay attention to, but it's really important if you want us to keep going. You can donate directly on either one of our main sites at lostartsradio.com. Look for the donate button or Lost Arts Research Institute. Same deal. And we've got a Subscribestar page, which is also a way to do it. And the address for that is subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. The other thing is to go to our main site at lostartsradio.com and get on our mailing list in case we get cut off where you're used to watching us and we can stay in touch. lostartsradio.com, or email a name and an email address to info@lostartsradio.com. We'll pick that up and subscribe to our non-censoring channel, not nonsense, but non-censoring at Brighteon.com. And that's Brighteon is Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. And that's open for subscriptions now for free. And that'll let you get notified when we post another video on there. That would be good to do. Also, if you want to go deeper into this stuff in a platform where we don't have to worry about getting censored. And it's a very valuable platform for an interactive live group meeting where I can share everything from the last more than half a century of work on this stuff. And you guys can share whatever's important to you and interactive discussion. And you can find areas where you want us to go and look at different issues that are happening. That the access to that privately is at planetaryhealingclub.com. planetaryhealingclub.com. We meet there live once a week. Doug and I will be there every time. It makes really interesting discussions that go quite quickly. And that's one of the places that we can not have to watch our wording so much. And we can talk about whatever subject you want. It's also a place that raises funds for us because there's a small membership dues that are paid every month of $25. And if we get large numbers in there, we could build the school that we'd like to do without waiting for a big donor, a big investor, anything like that. And we can't work with most big investors anyway because it can't have strings attached. It has to stay clear and pure. And if it's made up of a whole lot of little tiny club membership dues, that's a way to make it work. And I'd say we should do that really soon based on what's happening in the outside world. So the plan is to eliminate freedom for the long term from the planet. That's what the virus thing is about. It's not about a virus. The virus is real and it's man-made and it's engineered in a program that should never have existed in the US, China, and many other places. But it's fizzled out to some degree and there are natural solutions to it, as Dr. Rima was alluding to. Those are being censored. Doctors are being ordered not to talk about the things at work. But you know about them if you're joining us, and we can talk about them freely. Not medical advice, we're not into that. But sharing information is still legal, and it's a lot easier to do in a private club environment, and that keeps us on the air. So that's planetaryhealingclub.com. If you're interested, we can talk about world events in there too and their relation to physical and higher level health and things like that. It's pretty good group to belong to. Let's see what else. So the Sunday shows like this one will continue to be free with educational guests as long as we're allowed to stay up on these platforms. Saturday show is Lost Arts Radio Live at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern Time. And that's for 1 hour. It's about things related to current events. And make sure and watch for that. They're really relevant discussions there. Sometimes people joining us that are very interesting as well. And then half an hour after that ends is your Planetary Healing Club meeting. So, and if you're a member and you don't make the meeting, you get to listen to it afterwards as a recording as well. And then email in comments and questions and keep it interactive even if you don't make the time. And we've got, you know, members in parts of the world where the club meeting might be happening in the middle of the night for them, and they can stay involved by listening later and then sending in comments. And it works really well, and that way everybody stays involved. So anyway, I think that's about it. The only last note I'd like to give you is if you get on Rima and Ralph's newsletter, DrRimaTruthReports.com, I think it's on that site. Sign up for the newsletter that they have. And when you open it in the email, this is what I've noticed, that malware bytes and a lot Firefox and a lot of these other popular platforms have been programmed to warn you that this is an evil, you know, Trojan horse site or something else like that. No, it's their site. It's a normal one. They just don't want you to know this information, which is kind of like a government seal of approval that it's something valuable. So interpret it correctly and get the benefit of the information that they put out all the time in their newsletters. I think that's about it. Thanks for staying with us, and hope to see you again soon. And if you want to be involved in our private part where we meet once a week as a club, you're welcome there. I'll wait to see you when you show up. Okay. So have a good night. Thanks for coming to the show, and we'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to subscribestar.com/lostartsradio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sacks, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sacks and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
You're the kind of guy I can't keep my eyes off. You're the kind of guy just can't get enough of, and I know this is crazy, but I'm crazy about you, and I know this is fast, but I gotta make it last. And I just want you to know I've never felt this way, and I just want you to see you're just drive me crazy, and I don't want you to go. Please don't go and stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. As I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. I'm an ordinary girl. I used to feel so stuck in an ordinary world. But now you came along and butterflies are flying. The spark that we make, there's no use denying. And I know this is fast, but we gotta make it last. And I just want you to know, never felt this way. And I just want you to see, you're driving crazy. And I don't want you to go, please don't go and stay close. Catch me as I fall deep, deep, deeper for you. As I fall deep, deep, deep for you. Deep, deep, deep for you.
As I fall
deep, deep, deep for you.
As I fall
deep, deep, deep for you.
As I fall
deep, deep, deep for you.
For you, as I fall,
you're my kind of guy.